This is a scripture that I referenced yesterday, but was going to speak on, and then the Lord took me captive into something else. But it's really blessed me the other day, just reading it again. Let me read that one verse again. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he do, will he show him, that you may marvel. I just love that, the way the Holy Spirit put that. But Jesus has just gotten through saying he's healed this man on the Sabbath. The Jews were wanting to kill him. They were already mad at him because he healed on the Sabbath, but then he referred to God as his Father, and then they wanted to kill him. Because none of them had a relationship with God that way. They didn't see God as Father. They saw him as Yahweh, as Jehovah, as a holy perfectionist who you couldn't get that close to because we were sinful. Jesus came to reveal the fact that he's Father. And so they were already angry at him. And so Jesus' explanation a couple of verses earlier was, look, he said, I only do those things I see the Father doing. He said, it's the Father who set you up. He wanted you to understand that people were more important to him than keeping the rules of the Sabbath. That the most important thing in the world to God is people. That's sometimes why I get tickled being in a liturgical world. Sometimes we call them sometimes liturgy Nazis. And liturgy Nazis get really upset if you don't do every little bit right. And so I remember the first time years and years ago in a service where we had people just worshiping and I invited them to come and dance around the altar. To a liturgical Nazi, that's a no-no because that's what that's called sacred space. So I had to explain to them that the most sacred space in this building is the space that you take up. Because Jesus didn't die for that space, he died for people. And so, and that's why it's so fun to be here, because this is, you're the most sacred group of people I've ever set before, because you're Jesus' favorite. This is his favorite group ever. But that Jesus said, what I've done, you think it's something that God's going to show me even greater things that you may marvel. So testimony to Jesus was important. His testimony was important. You know, there's a place earlier that we talked about a good bit in chapter 3. You know, and all of this is connected to this place and this important foundational word from John chapter 1 in verse 9. There was the true light, Jesus as opposed to John. John wasn't a false light, but he wasn't the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every person. So Jesus coming into the world enlightened every person. Now, has every person come to Christ? No. But Jesus didn't just come as God and live, because everything then Jesus did, we could say, well, that's easy for him to say when he says to forgive people, because he's God. Yet the fact is, in his incarnation, Jesus laid down his right. And though God, he lived as man, as the Son of Man. And so when it says that Jesus coming into the world as a true light lightens every man, he reveals to us what normal humanity looks like. He gives us an example of us, of a spirit-filled life. Even a spirit-filled life, though Jesus never sinned, that was tempted in every way like unto us. He was clothed in our humanity. And so that's different, because then when I look at scripture and I see the things that Jesus did, then I understand that it's not just so I can stand back and gawk at him as God. I see that as an invitation, that this is the way of life that Jesus lives that he now calls me to participate in. And so in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus comes and starts questioning Jesus and says to Jesus, hey, look, obviously you're from God because God's with you. Because the things that you do, you couldn't do if God weren't with you. And then Jesus doesn't even respond to that question, because what the man was not saying to Jesus was, I believe you're God. He said, no, you're a man whose God is with you. And Jesus responded by saying, unless a person's born from above. So he begins to explain to the man how a human being can live the life that he's lived, being born from above. We say born again, but it's actually the word born from above. And then later, as he gets towards that little conversation, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and hears the sound of it, and you do not know where it comes from where it is going. So it's everyone who is born of the Spirit. And then Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Jesus has said to him, when you're born from above, it's like the wind. People don't know where you're going and where you've come from. Your lifestyle will be one that people can't explain. They'll have no explanation for the life that you live. Just like you can't come up with an explanation for the life that I'm living. Because I've come to enlighten every human being as to what, as second Adam, God created us to be like. The supernatural life. Not just supernatural in signs and wonders, but how about the sign and wonder of a life of supernatural holiness, of godliness. No man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has come to reveal him. And it's not just about his ability to heal or cast out demons, but to set us free from the reign of sin. And so when Jesus says that statement in chapter 5, that God's going to do even more things that you may marvel, he said, God wants you to see something. So he goes on later, and again in verse 30, he says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. So he didn't do anything as God, though he was God. He did nothing on his own initiative. My judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but I seek the will of him who sent me. Then he says this, and if I alone bear witness of myself, my testimony is not true. He said, the only authenticity that I have is the fact that I tell you that I'm authentic. That's not good enough. If I tell you that I'm the real deal, there is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the testimony which he bears of me is true. Now pay attention. Jesus says, there's another that bears witness of me, and I know that his testimony of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has become a witness to the truth. But the witness which I receive is not from man. So I'm not talking about John. But I say these things that you may be saved. He said, I'm saying all these things that you may be saved from the life that you live. Because Jesus didn't just come to save me from the things that I've done. He came to save me from the person that I was. That's the gospel. He said, he was a lamp, John the Baptist, and was burning and was shining. And you were willing to rejoice for a while in the light. But the witness that I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me. That the Father did send me. And the Father who sent me, he is also borne witness of me, even though you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. So Jesus said, I'll only do those things I see the Father doing. That's union. I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. Jesus said that in John 10, John 14, and John 17. That's union. And he said, only do those things I see the Father doing. I only judge, say those things I hear the Father saying. I only discern situations based on what the Father is saying. And he said, there's going to be more going to happen, and you're going to marvel. But me telling you this isn't the witness. The witness is the life that I live. I've come to do the works that the Father sent me, and the works wasn't just, again, signs and wonders. It was having compassion on a man who was sick for 38 years, even though it's Sabbath, that person was more important. Stopping and having a conversation with Nicodemus, going out of his way to minister to one woman who had been married 5 times and was living with a man. Was her life changed? Yes. Through a word of knowledge? Yes. But it was his compassion. What about healing the nobleman's child and caring about a wedding? That'd be the first miracle, was demonstrating that he cared the fact that they had run out of wine and the family would be humiliated and embarrassed. Those were the works that Jesus did too, not just the miracle of the things that he did, but the miracle of the disposition of God that he carried. That God is love, and it's a miraculous supernatural life. That God doesn't see things the way we see things. I wrote an article yesterday, and in the article I was saying that when we learn, repentance again means, it's a two-word thing, it means think with. As Jesus teaches us to see how he sees, we repent, we think with him. And as we see things, as we see people, as we see circumstances, the way he sees them, then we feel what he feels. And when we feel what he feels, we say what he would say, what he's saying. And we act the way he acts. Because every time he teaches us to see as he sees, he's inviting us to participate in the way of life that he lives. And it is totally, ridiculously opposite of the world. James 3 says there's only two kinds of wisdoms in this world. Only two. You're operating in one or the other. One is earthly and soulish and demonic. And one is one that comes from above. Well, the wisdom that comes from above for us is because we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. We have the very mind of Christ, the wisdom of Christ. And so we don't live a life of offense and defensiveness and anger and impatience and frustration and despair and criticalness. Oh, I'm not being critical. I'm just concerned. Ever notice Jesus was never concerned like that? All those things. Because he came to set us free from who we were, to experience the miracle of who he is. Not hurt by people. Jesus was always hurt for people. Whenever he was hurt, it immediately became hurt for them, offended for them. But the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that if one died for all, therefore all died. And if he died for all, it's that those who live, those who are born again, may no longer live for themselves. That is so liberating. Because when you're living for yourself, everything's about how it's affected you, how does it make you feel. But a life that doesn't live like that is a marvel. And the people who are around you marvel at the sign and wonder that your life is. Now, cool things happen too. Because when you're that way, you're walking in compassion and miracles do happen. But you see, a Christian's life should be one that the people who work around you, the people who live with you, the people who contact with you, people who work in your environment, they should look at your life and go, what a marvel. That's a marvel. Jesus said, I say these things and you might be saved. What was the gospel message? What was this? How does that get them saved? To bear witness of a normal life, enlightening every man. Jesus said, I say these things to you so you'll be saved. When you look at my life, like Nicodemus, you'll say, how? How is it possible for a person to live like that? And I tell you the truth, the amazing thing about it is this life that makes people marvel, the older you get, the more marvelous it becomes. You with me? Because you've been walking in his wisdom long enough to like the wisdom from above, that the wisdom from above has now captivated your life and everything you're seeing, everything from the wisdom from above. And therefore, you're responding to things from Christ. Can you blow it? Yeah, but man, you don't stay in that place very long. And you own it and you go on. It is glorious freedom. And that's what Jesus was saying. The life that I live is the great testimony. Isn't that amazing? So John the Baptist was great, but he's not the testimony I'm talking about. It's the very life that I live. And I tell you this so that you might be saved, because you'll want to live that kind of life too. And see, here's the cool thing, that when you become a Christian, you're grafted into that very life that people marvel at. It's not you're trying to be like that. You're just learning how to participate in it in childlike faith. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.